she don't want to be in Kentucky anymore. She wants to come. And she's just like, you can just move there and be, go to church. We can go to church with Brother Robbie. And, but he won't let that. He pastors a church a lot like ours. And, it's a wonderful church in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And I'll be there at the end of this month with Brother Malcolm Carter. And, man, I love his people. I love Brother EJ. Y'all give him a hand as he comes and gives us the word this morning.
Love you, brother. Appreciate you. Love you. Amen. Amen. It's a pleasure to be here. Appreciate you guys. And this church is. It's a lot like home. And I like that. Amen. I like that y'all worship. And I like that worship is somewhat personal. Can I get a witness? Amen. That it's, you worship how you worship. Now, I had a couple of y'all looking at me over there because when I get real happy, I whistle. I grew up in bars and I didn't grow up in church. I don't know nothing about, you know, what's right, what's wrong. I like to clap, but if I get going real, that's just what I do. I don't know. And I heard some of y'all look around for the dogs. I didn't know what was going on. And I was at a church one time in Kentucky. This guy got saved. I mean, a redneck through and through, just born again. And he didn't know what to do. He got real excited in the Lord. He jumped up. He goes, oh, yeah. And he just liked wrestling, I guess. And he thought he was Macho Man. So I tried that once or twice, and it didn't really work out the way it worked out for him. And it's got to be, you got to worship how God's called you to worship. Amen. Pastor Robbie, I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I like preaching in churches that, you know, where their preachers just can't really preach. I like going to those churches. Y'all got one of the best preachers in the country, and makes me a nervous wreck. And so I've got a thought in Exodus 15, been wrestling with it, and he said, don't keep them 2 hours. Then he puts me in the pulpit at 11:50. And so just so y'all know, it was the long-winded singers and not the preacher today. Amen. But I do want to give you what the Lord has given me. If things go right, you'll know it because I will give you the introduction this morning and I will close it out tonight. If I go too long, you know things aren't going right and I'm going to give you the whole message right here. Amen. But I am going to do my best to give you what God has laid on my heart. If you open your Bibles there, Exodus 15, we're going to read just a few verses, if you would, there in verse 23. We'll start in verse 22 just for context. The Bible says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord. Notice the paradox between verses 24 and 23. They murmured, they complained, but Moses cries unto God. And the Lord says he showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt do due diligence, but hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they camped there by the waters. Father, we love you. Help me preach this morning, because they don't need to hear from me, they need to hear from you. I do feel, Lord, you've given me a word this morning. Now help me to portray it to your people clearly. God, let them not just hear with physical ears, but God, give them blood-tipped ears. They can truly hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. And God, you'd give the increase in Jesus' name. Amen. I know many of you know where you're at, and for time's sake, I'd like not to have to go through it, but just for context, I do want to explain to you, because I know when I got into church, I didn't know any of this. I didn't understand all of the Bible details, but what's happening here is Israel has been in bondage now in Egypt for 400 years. We find out here in Exodus 15 that they have just crossed the Red Sea. How many of y'all know where we're at in the Bible? And God has parted the Red Sea. They have come out of Egypt, and they are on their way, but now you got to understand that biblically they have been there as slaves for 400 years. They have been there for 400 years. The Bible says that Egypt made their life laborious. But they conjured up new ways to make their life tough and more difficult. But the God's Word gives us this testimony that the more they afflicted God's people, the more God's people grew. How many of y'all know this, that when God's walking with you, that when you are going through something with God, you don't just have to go through it, but you can grow through it. Now, this is God's people, and He's promised them some things. He has promised them that He is going to make them a nation. He is going to make them a people of kings and priests. He is going to multiply their seed as the stars are in the sky. But right now, they're slaves. Right now, all they know is to do what the Egyptians have told them. Right now, it'd be a big deal for God to do this. So before God can do anything through them, He's got to do some things to them. God has promised them something big. He has made a great promise. He says, I'm going to give you a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a place that you can be your own people, and I will make you the pinnacle of all nations. But first, I've got to prepare you. First, I've got to bring you through some things. I've got to do some things to you before I can do anything through you. So God raises up Moses. Moses even had a time of preparation. Moses spent time in Pharaoh's house on the backside of the mountain. He has gone through some things, and finally Moses is raised up. God proves to Moses who he is, and then God through Moses brings the 10 plagues, and then finally we have the Red Sea crossing. You know the Bible story is this. They get to the Red Sea, and now Pharaoh looks out and says, look, they've entrapped themselves. They can't go anywhere else. They are stuck. He changes his mind and goes out to get them. They are between a rock and a hard place. They get to a place where they realize if God does not do something here, we're destroyed. If God does not make a move in this situation, we are absolutely going to be devastated in this moment. Moses says, continue on. And God tells Moses to lift up his rod. And you know the story, God parts the waters. He parts the waters of the Red Sea to allow millions of Jews to cross across. And the best part about it is the wet sand isn't even dry. The Bible says it's dry ground. Now, can I get a witness this morning? How many of y'all know that God can do that and that God did do that this morning? Amen. So God is just taken into a spot. He has proved to them who He is. Then verses 1 through 21 in chapter 15, these people are having themselves a Holy Ghost fit. They are singing a brand new song. They said, for God hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider He has thrown into the sea. They cry out, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Miriam even gets out the tambourines and has herself a Pentecostal fit. She's shaking that bad boy, amen. They are singing. The ladies get to going. They don't care about their makeup and their hair. Things are just flying. They are shouting the house down. Then all of a sudden, the Bible changes. Something transitions. They go from shouting God's praises to murmuring and complaining. As I just told you, God has promised to make them a nation, but they have just spent 400 years. They don't know what it means to be a free people. They don't know what it means to truly follow God. You got to understand, while these were God's people, it's been 40 generations. 40 generations. They don't have Genesis. They don't have Exodus. They don't have Leviticus. All they have is the word of testimony, the speaking of who Joseph was and who Jacob was. And after 40 generations, if we get a witness this morning, eventually the children just stop believing. If God is really as you say He is, why are we in this situation? So these individuals are green. Any first generation Christians in the house this morning? Any, your mama wasn't saved, your daddy wasn't saved, you're the very first Christian. Got a couple of, just y'all a bunch of religious folk. Amen. Good night. Amen. I am a first generation Christian. My daddy wasn't saved. My mama wasn't saved. My mama was an addict. My daddy owned bars my whole life. All I knew was Catholicism. And even outside of that, I had no true understanding who God was and what Jesus did. So when I got saved, 23 years old, I didn't know anything. I got saved. I get born again. I mean, about 2 or 3 weeks after I get saved, I'm heading home. And I lived on top of this hill called Top Hill Road off Mitchell Hill. And I took a right and I ran over a cat. Now, I don't like cats. Can I get a witness this morning? If you like cat, God help you. Amen. But in this moment, it was a kitten. And then just for some reason, I was just freshly saved. And in that moment, it began to tug on my heartstrings. So I jump out of the car. I come around the front of the car, and here's that cat. It's laying dead. I mean, just bear with me for a second. Amen. I bend down, and I said, God, you said you could bring back life to the death. You gave me life. You'll give this. And I prayed heaven down on that cat. I truly, fully expected that cat's lungs to begin to move. It would unsquish itself, jump up, and run out. I didn't know. I didn't know anything. Now, just to testify, I wish God had did that. God did not do that, just to prove he don't like cats either. What I'm trying to get at, though, is I didn't know anything. But not knowing anything, I had great expectations. But when that cat didn't get up, I went home tore up. I went home wondering, why didn't God do this? I've read the stories. I believed, I trusted, but I didn't know enough. I didn't understand God's parameters. I had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, as the Word of God said. And so I was really messed up that God didn't. So my life in the beginning was this. Big highs, deep lows, big high. Why? Because I wasn't yet prepared to receive what God had promised me. See, going from a slave to being a free nation was a big jump, and God was going to have to do some things. He had to have a time of preparation. Can y'all help me look at your neighbors and say, a time of preparation? About half of y'all help. Look at your other neighbors and say, a time of preparation. See, God's made some promises, but they weren't yet in a place to receive the promise. Could you imagine heading down the road, seeing a homeless man on the side of the road, and you walk up and give him $1 million? How many of y'all know that wouldn't be a good idea? He would not, it would maybe bless him for a week or 2 weeks or a month. It might even get him to a year. But this individual is in the place he's at because he does not yet know how to manage money. He don't know how to live life right. There's probably something happened in his life that has kept him in his position. And if I just gave him $1 million, he would not be prepared to handle that promise. And see, many of y'all have gotten saved, and you're not yet prepared to handle the promises God's given you. We've got revival this week, but if you're not in a place of preparation, if you've not yet gone through the motion of what God needs to do in your life, if you've not yet taken the right steps, this week will come and go, and you will miss what God has for you because you're not prepared. I would hope that being revival, it's been announced for months probably. You probably knew when it was, and surely you have fasted, and surely you have prayed, and surely you've been witnessing to people, and surely you've been reading your Bible, and surely you've been repenting of things in your life, and surely you've come this morning ready to go. But if we're honest, we probably have done what we've done many revivals. We've shown up, and we've not really prepared. And we'll come Monday night, we'll come Tuesday night, and we'll even come Wednesday night, and we'll raise our hands, and we'll lift at our neighbor, and we'll say this, or we'll say that, and we'll even come to the altar. But we've really not done the work of preparation in our lives. And we'll leave Wednesday night wondering why we don't really feel revived. Why we don't have what we thought we would have. And I want to expand upon this thought just for a moment because I see that God had a time of waiting in their life. And I mean, I don't like to wait. I was telling Robbie, I came to Robbie's house, he's got a gate. And that gate was... I mean, I was cussing. I'll be honest with you. I had to repent right to you. I was like, I was going to ram the gate and just buy him a new one. Amen. I thought, why is this thing so slow? This morning, we're leaving, and it starts closing on me. Robbie hits the button. It starts opening. I was like, can we just get out of here? I yell at people at McDonald's. I scream at the toaster. I yell at the microwave. I mean, nothing is fast enough. Can I get a witness this morning? I hate waiting. I've got an app that's called Audible, and I listen to books. And I listen to books at 1.9 speed. And I listen to 4 books at a time because I got ADD and I can't listen long enough and concentrate. So I bounce from here to there and here and there. And everything. Why do you talk so fast? Because I don't want y'all to wait on me. It drives me nuts. I'll be listening. And the Bible says that you should just having, no. I need you to hurry this thing up. I like YouTube, amen, because I'll put it on 2X speed. And I'll listen to a 30-minute sermon in 12 minutes. Glory to God right there. Now, you study your Bible, and I even called your pastor to get a little help on this, amen, because he's a Bible genius and all. And I said, Pastor Robbie, how long was the Israelites supposed to be in the wilderness before they got to the place where they spied out the land and they missed the promise? You know the story, right? Numbers 13 pops up. They go and spy out the land. The 12 go out. 10 come back, say, we can't have it. 2 say, we can't have it. And they miss the promise of God. I began to look and try to figure out how long it was. And in one spot, it says from Ramses, the Kadesh Barnea was an 11-day journey. So my mind, I always thought it was just 11 days. But as I began to study it, it was actually a year and 75 days that God had mapped out for the children of Israel to go through to get to the promised land. I began to look at it. They could have traveled straight through the upper regions from Ramses straight to Kadesh Barnea where the promise was introduced. They could have traveled that and been there in 11 days, but they would have had to go the way of the Philistines. They'd have left there instantly leaving Egypt and they'd have been fighting battles they were not prepared to fight. They instantly left there and had to go to war, and they were not prepared. And God knew, if I take you the fast route, when you get there, you won't be ready. So we had a time of waiting, a time of preparation. And so 1 year and 75 days goes by. God brings them to the place and he's told them, now that you're here, now that you've gotten to where I was bringing you to, this year and 75 days of preparation, you are absolutely ready to go in. I've already walked out. The Bible says every place your foot shall trod, I have already given to you. Meaning they were not going to go anywhere that God had not already went out before them and prepared the place for them. There was nothing that was going to happen to them. All the giants, they were going to walk in there, kick the giants' rear ends, and they were going to take that place by the power and the grace of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. But they get there, and they refuse. They get there, and they don't feel like they're ready. See, God had a specified time of waiting, and so their waiting was wasted. If you're like me, I don't like to wait anyways. But then when my waiting is wasted, I really hate that. And their waiting turned into wandering. See, God has a time of waiting in your life. A time of preparation. If you're saved, you are in that time right now. There is a promise for you. There is power for you. There is a place for you, a victory, a place of success, a place where you can walk in the power of God. But up until that moment, there's some steps you got to go through. But I'm just saying this morning, don't let your time of waiting turn into a time of wandering. Don't get to where God is taking you to and miss it because you're not ready. God has worked in this pastor's heart to have revival at this time and in this place. And God knew it long before you knew it. And he's been working in your heart to get you to a place that when you're here, now you are ready. If you've mishandled it, if you've misrepresented it, if you've not been obedient, maybe you're here, but you're not ready. And it makes no sense to get to a place and when you finally get there to not be ready for it. You ever had to go somewhere? Maybe you had to go to a hotel and then you get to the hotel and they ask you, hey, where's your ID at? And you go, oh, left my ID at home. Or maybe you go, I went to get a rental car the other day and I booked it on Priceline and Priceline said I could use my debit card and I get to the place to use it and they say, you can't use your debit card. And I say, well, I've left my credit card at home because I don't trust myself in Georgia with a credit card. My wife, the Holy Ghost ain't with me. I'm leaving my credit cards at home. So I waited all this time. I get in this line, 45 people at budget. I finally get to my time. I am ready to go. I've got it all prepared, I think, only to be told, you just waited for nothing. You got to go home and get a credit card. I lost my spirit for a moment. I said things I should not say probably. But I was mad because I've waited and I wasn't ready. So now my waiting has turned into wandering. I've got to go back. I'm going to go back and do everything I've already did again to come back to the place. Why? Not their fault. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. And God has brought them to this place. And the Bible says, look, in Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happened unto them for in samples. They are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. See, God lets things happen in our life to test us. But He's not testing us for His sake. He's testing us for our sake. See, God already knows. God knows the outcome. But maybe it's within your life that you don't know. He said, why would God bring them out of Egypt to hit the Red Sea instantly? To prove to them God was able. And they go celebrating. And they're shouting and they're happy. And man, they're having this at the time, only to now hit the bitter waters. And they literally go from singing a song of praise in 3 days, now they're murmuring against God. See, I'd never do that. How many of y'all have done that today? God's on the mountain. God's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. 3 days, you didn't get what you thought you should get, and now everything's dead. Everything's awful. Everything's coming apart. I'm tired. I'm done. I quit. That's every pastor, every Monday, every man, amen. See, people often say, I know my heart. I know what I feel. I would never do that. They'd have told you 5 minutes before, getting in the bitter waters, God is good, God is great, all the time God is good, and God is good all the time. They'd have high-fived their neighbors, they'd have ran a lap, they'd have come to the altar and cried and shouted and said how good God is, and then 5 minutes later, they get to the bitter waters and they are murmuring against God. Complaining, wishing they could go back to Egypt. Not satisfied in what God was doing. Why? They didn't yet know how to trust Him. So God had some steps of preparation in their lives. You think God accidentally brought them to the bitter waters? God showed them on purpose. There was a more direct route, but God took them to the Red Sea, not to get them in a spot that they thought they were going to die, but to bring them to a spot where they would understand, I can't go forward without God in my life. God opens the waters, they cross it, He destroys the enemies, they're shouting, they're singing, they're praising. 3 days later, boom, God hates us, we're done. Here we are again, and God says, you know what, I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove you. I'm going to show you that I am able. How many of y'all know this? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You are either today doing one of two things. You are complaining or you're crying to God. Verse 24, the people were murmuring, they were complaining. Exodus 16 tells you that when you complain against the man of God, you're actually complaining about the Lord. They were murmuring about their position, they're murmuring about their situation, but they weren't murmuring to each other, they were complaining against God. They come to Moses complaining against God. They come to the man of God upset, tore up, defeated, distraught, they're down, they're out, and Moses does not complain back. What he does, he hits his knees and he begins to cry out to God. They're complaining did not stir the heart of God, but Moses' crying woke up the master. And you are doing one of two things this morning. You are complaining about your lot, or you are crying out to God. Your complaining won't change anything, but when you start crying out to the one who can, He can change it this morning. He can change it. So sometimes God will remove all your crutches and everything we have, just to realize He's all we got. And see, complaining doesn't solve your problems, because if you run away from your problem, even if you go back to Egypt, you'll have a new place for the same problem. Because the heart of every problem is the problem of the heart. You're the problem this morning. Don't look at your neighbor and say, you're the problem. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the problem. This morning, we are the problem. Our unbelief, our lack of faith, our idea of being up and down and up and down. We're in and out. We're tossed to and fro. At some point, we just got to realize God is good, whether we feel it or not, whether we see it or not, whether we know it. God is just good. So don't let your waiting turn in to wandering. You have to remember something, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I wonder this morning, are you prepared for what God wants to do? Have you taken the time this week to make sure that you could be here on Sunday night? Make sure you could be here on Monday night and Tuesday night. Well, preacher, you just don't understand. No, you don't understand. God has a promise for you. Have you prepared yourself to receive it? But I've got bowling on Monday nights, and my kids got ball games on Tuesday night, and I'm just so worn out on Wednesday night, there's no way I could come. Then you're not ready to receive, and your waiting will turn into wandering, and you will encompass the promise, never ever seeing it, and one day you'll die off wondering why you never saw what God could do. I wonder, are you ready? How many of you this morning can tell you that you've had waiting turn into wandering? How many of you have experienced the wandering because you weren't ready to take what God had for you? How many can witness this morning that God brought you to a place of promise and your fear and your unbelief allowed you to reject it and refuse it, and God brought you through a place of wandering? But the goodness of God always does this. After so many years of wandering, He always brings you back to that place of disobedience and gives you a chance for obedience. Yeah, come help me on this piano, Dalton. Maybe we'll sing it to the table again. That was pretty good. God brings them to the bitter waters. And God does a work and makes a miracle in this place of bitterness. I don't want to share everything with you because I want to bring it out tonight. But I wonder tonight, just bear with me for a second. What if God's promise was for you to be here tonight, but you've not prepared your heart, you've not prepared your life, you've not scheduled time for God in your life, and so the promise you could have is on a Sunday night at 6:00, but you're too busy. You've not prepared. Maybe it's on Monday night at 7:00 or Tuesday night or Wednesday night. Maybe God's already got the place of victory scheduled out in your life. He's already seen it. He's watched your waiting. He's watched your preparation. And He says, on this night, at this time, they will be ready. But you've not done the work to be there. And the worst part is this. What if it's this morning? What if you are here? What if you've heard it, but you won't move? You won't come and take it. They were there. They were at the place. Numbers 13, they got to the place at the exact time. God's promised them victory, and they come and they won't take it. Here's the sad truth. There were those that wanted it that missed it because others refused it. The Bible says don't hinder the Holy Ghost. Don't quench the Spirit. Some of y'all today could have the key to revival for this church. Some of y'all have the key to revival not for this church, but for this community, for your schools, for your jobs, for your families, for this nation, for this state, for this country. You've got the key, but maybe you won't take it because you're scared. How could God ever use the child of a dope head and the son of an alcoholic? How could God ever take somebody who's been here or done that or went through? God could never use me, so I just won't preach then. I can't sing. I'll never sing. I can't be a missionary. I can't witness. I can't pray. I can't do this. Stop listening to the lies of the devil and step into your promise. God's bringing you through it. Don't miss your waiting. Don't miss your time of preparation. Allow God to show you who He is. Just trust Him. Keep walking. Keep going. And whatever it is, don't complain. Cry out to God and bring it to God this morning. I believe with all my heart, God has some keys to revival this week. I'm going to deal with bitterness tonight. Lord willing, we're going to deal with a bitter root. And God has a healing. He said, I am the God who heals. But he had to be the God who revealed before he could ever be the God who healed. And they had to be at the bitter place before they could ever be at a better place. Let's all stand tonight. And just maybe, you'd say, preacher, I've not prepared myself. I've not brought myself to a place where I can truly allow God to do what God wants to do in my life. Maybe you've been murmuring and complaining. Maybe you're going through a time of waiting and it's driving you crazy. Maybe you're already in a time of wandering. Let me just tell you this. If you'll repent, repeat your first works, get back to your first love, God will begin to work again. If you've not prepared, this morning could be a time of preparation. Maybe it'd be good to go ahead and text your friend, text your buddy, text your work, text that coach. Say, I won't be there tomorrow, or I'll be late, because I'm making a time for God in my life, because I need it. My family needs it. My children need it. Your neighbors need it. Your job needs it. This church needs it. Maybe you would right now, as they sing and I pray, move. Say, God, I don't know everything, but I want to get to know you better. Eyes are closed, heads are bowed, no one's looking around. Maybe you're here and you've never been saved this morning. Maybe you don't know the Lord. Maybe you've never been born again. You're still wrapped up in Egypt. You're still in bondage to slavery. I've come to tell you this morning, God can break those chains. He can part those waters and he wants to save you. If you're here this morning, eyes are closed, heads are bowed, no one's looking around, and you just simply say, preacher, I'm here, I'm lost, and I need to be saved. I need to be, if that's you this morning, just slip your hand up, hand back down. Anybody else say, preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved. Is that you, sir? Is that you, ma'am? How about it? How about this? Say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I'm not yet prepared. And I'd like this morning, I see hands all over the place going up. Say, preacher, I want prepared. I need preparation this morning. I'm going to pray. He's going to sing. You're going to move. Father, we love you. We thank you. Help us this morning. Help your people take a hold of this time of preparation. Take a hold of this time of waiting. God, please don't allow it to be a time of wandering. God, help us not to complain, but help us to cry out to you this morning and let you prove to us who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. He's singing, you're moving. Come on, you move this morning. This church needs you to move. Won't you obey this morning? Won't you come? Won't you step out this morning? Come on.
Hear the voice of love that's called.
Don't just sit there. Don't just sit there. You move. Husbands, get your wives with the hands. Y'all come down. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Mamas, get your children. Get on this altar and say, you know what? I don't want your life to be a time of wandering. I want you to be prepared. I want you to see how to do it. I want you to see how to pray. I want you to see how to worship. I want you to see how to love God. I want you to know what revival is. I want you to experience the move of God in your life. Come on, you move this morning. You move.
But you keep standing at a distance.
Don't stand at a distance this morning. Come on, you bring it to the table. You bring it to God this morning. Whatever it is, you bring it to Him.
Shadow of your shame.
You've complained long enough, sir. You've complained long enough, man. Won't you come and cry to God? Come cry
There's
to God.
There's a light of hope that shines. Won't you come?
Don't miss this time. Don't miss this time. Come on.
Bring it all to the table. Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all to the table. He can see the weight you carry, the fears that hold your heart. Savior, and he calls, bring your heart home to the table. For all your sin, all your sorrow, he says, there's a Savior, and he calls, bring your heart home.
And wasn't that good this morning? Man, I'm telling you, you won't hear it preached any better than that right there. Fact is that many of us are discontent. We want it our way. We want it Burger King. Come on, I need somebody. We want it just like, man, it's got to happen like this. It's got to happen on my time schedule. Man, when you really understand God, me and you are the mess. And he has to prepare us to receive what he wants to give us. And so many times, you and I, we're so wrapped up in everything else in the world that we miss it. While he was talking about it, talking about coming back maybe tonight or maybe Monday night or maybe Tuesday night or maybe Wednesday night, I was thinking about Elijah, a prophet, burst onto the scene. Told King Ahab, he said, man, it ain't going to rain again for 3.5 years. You know what God did? God sent him to a brook all by himself. God said, I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Old boy would have went hungry if he hadn't have been where God told him to be. 3.5 years, Elijah hid out at the brook till it went dry. And then God sent him to a widow woman. He said, I've commanded this widow to feed you there. Tonight, listen, tonight, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, your promise could be there. If I was you, I wouldn't miss out on it. What a wonderful man. I don't know where he went. He's ugly. I can't find him anywhere. Oh, he's right over here. Man, he did a tremendous job. I love Brother EJ. And, man, that was awesome. The real miracle was that he only preached 40 minutes. And because that boy right there can preach now, I'm telling you. And I do appreciate him. He did a wonderful job this morning. Are you glad you come to church? All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We're going to do it all over again. We're going to have some fun. Choir's going to sing. They'll bless your heart just like they did this morning. We might sing the same songs. I ain't going to lie to you. Jake don't like to do it, but I need a witness. There's some songs I like. And since I am the pastor of the church, we can listen to them over and over and over and over again, all right? And anyhow, you come on back tonight, 6 o'clock, and we'll get you home. I promise you, we won't keep you too late. But, man, we'll have a good service. Don't forget Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night. You can be here for supper at what time? 5:45. Don't cost you a thing. Just come join us. 7 o'clock, we'll have church service. And, man, we are going to have a time all week long. Brother Jonathan will be here Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And the Tab family will be here Monday night and Tuesday night, tomorrow night and Tuesday night. So come be with us. Brother Sheldon's coming up. I don't know what's going on. Well, I do. I kind of got an idea, all right. But, anyhow, it's good to see him.
I don't know how I drew the short straw here. But those of you might know that it's Brother Robbie and Miss Michelle's anniversary. So, do you know how many years?